Hello and welcome to the Brewman podcast. Today I'm joined by Megan 18. Now, many of you will know who Megan 18 is because her involvement with Property Mark. She also has a TikTok account, which is what we're going to talk about of one of the things today. And Megan's been in the industry for 12, 13 years. Is that right, Megan?
Yeah, can't, like old furniture now.
So tell me, how did you get into estate agency? What was your early career?
Oh, well, believe it or not, it actually sort of began when I was a baby. So my mum was an estate agent, and when I was about 6 months old, I used to sit in her car seat and she'd take me out on her repossession valuations. It's sort of, I guess, in the blood. So I actually never wanted to be an estate agent. I wanted to be a vet. And then I wanted to be a journalist, and neither of those things happened. So then fast forward a long time later, once I was turned 18, I got a job part-time in a estate agent doing the typing, and then in between my ski seasons, and thought, oh yeah, that'll pass the time, and then sort of got a bit of a bug for it and went from there, really.
Yeah, and you've worked for corporates. Well, you haven't worked for corporates, actually. They're independents, aren't they, all of your career, but sort of corporates.
I would say independents verging on corporates. So yeah, I did Chancellors, and then I did an independent called Farmer and Dyer, and then Davis Tate. So yeah, all on the edge of, well, lots of independents, but some corporate edges too.
Yeah, cool. Okay, and all in that sort of Reading area.
That sort of patch. Very boring, really, aren't I, staying in Reading?
No, that wasn't what I meant. I meant as in, like, you've probably got quite a lot of overlap. You've probably been dealing with the same types of landlords and people for, well, over a decade, I would imagine.
I literally said to the office the other day that I have a very one track knowledge base, and it's about Reading and it's about lettings. Anything else, I'm pretty oblivious to.
Fair enough. So Property Mark, when did you get involved in Property Mark?
So I've always been a bit of a geek. So I really wanted to do my ALA pretty much as soon as I came into the industry. So I joined as a student of ALA and did all the training that way. And then I became a member, like, I don't know, a decade ago. I did my FALA, so my fellowship, when I was pregnant with my little boy a couple of years ago. And when they bought up a regional executive's job, when Greg stepped out, I think it was about a year ago now, I thought, oh, I'll put my name in. Didn't think I'd have a chance. So went through the interview, and here I am.
And so we're not here to sell ALA. You know, one of the things that I really want to talk about is like, what are the benefits of being a member of ALA, and what do you get from it? Because I think quite often people don't necessarily understand it. They just see it as a qualification. There's so much more to it than that, aren't there?
I think what you have to think about is what's important to you in terms of your job. So I'm qualified both on sales and lettings, and I definitely feel I get more from my lettings qualification than I do necessarily my sales qualification. For me, it's always just been about knowledge is power. And I just think I always had that extra level of knowledge more than I had before. So I think that's from my own sort of selfish point of view. I guess why I think Property Mark's pretty awesome is because a lot of the legislation changes that come in, sometimes they come through to us at ALA level, and we go, oh my God, that is going to be a disaster. And then we go on to like the battlefield and try and sort of almost reduce the impact that it's going to have on the industry by working with the government. So, you know, for example, at the moment, EPCs, they want to make it a C rating as a minimum standard for lettings. It's going to wipe out like 40%. Of people's portfolios. So we all went through our portfolios, fed into government, you know, gave our thoughts, and we're really hoping that it sits in at a D rather than a C, but we'll see. But you know, that is with the work of ALA trying to do that.
Yeah, because you work very, very closely with the government, don't you, on decisions and things. And I know that you campaigned for lots of stuff that happened during lockdown and things like that as well. And things which I think quite often people don't even realise have happened off the back of what ALA's done. Other than this, you said you've got a little boy.
Dexter.
So, yeah. How old's Dexter?
Dexter is 3.5.
3.5. How do you find juggling work and mum life? I say this because I struggle.
Yeah. Do you know what? I don't think you'll ever be 100% happy as a parent. You know, you always get mum guilt. You know, you always feel you're giving something. You know, when he's poorly, I feel like I neglect work. When work's busy, I feel like I neglect Dex. So you have to, I think you have to take away mum guilt. You have to say to yourself, right, I want to be a working mum, and I want to show Dex that mums can be hardworking and good career people too. So I think I always think to myself, right, I'm setting a good example for him as a man, that we're all equal. The reality is that you just have to constantly juggle. Like I have to balance things. And I think working for an employer that respects family values is really important. I've been really lucky with my employer that they've been great. You know, I can't fault, you know, the you know, if I need to go because he's sick, I've got to go. You know, it is what it is. But you get me back in different ways. So I think that's the best way to do it. You just got to kind of balance it as it comes in, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do you think there's been a bit more a bit more understanding and a bit more leniency just generally across the industry since COVID's happened, in terms of people realizing that you can work from home perhaps when they're sick, or maybe a little bit more give in terms of taking the afternoon off to do a school sports day and things like that?
I mean, I wouldn't say I've probably taken advantage of that, so it's probably difficult for me to say, but I definitely think that as a whole, you know, country, we've definitely seen that our businesses can in general operate with people being remote. Obviously, the problem with estate agency is that it's very much about people, and we have to work around their schedules as well as their properties, and that's very difficult to do at home. So whilst I think that there's an element of our job that can be done at home, you know, for me, I worked in that first lockdown, and then afterwards I said, please don't send me home. Please don't make me work from home again. You know, I hated it. Absolutely hated working from home. I missed people. So I think it's a difficult one. I think depending on your role in the office, I think you can get away with it. But I've always been quite like front end, so it's always been a bit trickier.
No, I get that. So talk to me about TikTok.
Yes. God, for all my sins. So, right.
If anyone doesn't know, can you explain what TikTok is? And the reason I'm asking you to explain it is because until the guys in the office showed me about a week ago, I didn't know what TikTok was. I've just heard of it. I've got it on my phone. I'm 37. I don't look at things like TikTok. But what is it?
Okay, so it's like an app that is videos. So when I first saw TikTok, when it came out, I don't know when it came out, but when it became big last year, I kept seeing was teenage girls dancing and doing dance routines. And I was like, God, this is just super cringy. And that's really where it started, in my opinion. I actively avoided it like the plague. And then slowly I was getting sent videos of like cute dogs, because I'm like really into dogs. you know, and I was like, oh, that's really, really cute. And then I was spending more and more time on it. And then I downloaded it, and that's where it all kind of went wrong, really. And it's a little bit of a black hole. And one of my favorite people to watch on there is a man that cleans out swimming pools. He's called the pool guy, and he literally just takes like really dirty swimming pools and like gets all the sludge out and like jet washes it, and it's just so therapeutic to watch.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird. I know. I'm going to send you one afterwards, and you can tell me that it's not therapeutic to watch. It's sort of and. I sort of didn't really think about it from a professional point of view, but did a social media training, and they basically said like TikTok's the next thing, like for our kind of industry, we need to kind of get on it. And I thought, I'm not sure about this, but I thought I'll give it a go. Like I'll see what happens. Like I'll always try it once, and if it's a flop, then, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it's been good. So like the first day I had like 30,000 hits on a video about pets. And
wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's a great guy, Dan, who works for Harry, who's the Property Mark VP. Yeah. And he got like a million hits on a video about what a landlord did wrong. And I think that it's given us the opportunity to show everybody that actually agents aren't all just bad people, that we're actually all right. And we're going to help you. So I get a lot of questions online. So, you know, it's a lot of questions, some occasional like cheesy content in there as well. But it's good. It's quite nice to do. It's quite fun.
Okay. So what sort of things do you do videos on, like walkthroughs of houses or?
I don't do walkthroughs of houses. I haven't made it to that point. I think the walkthroughs are really great. But obviously for me, I feel like there's like a layer of, I've kept it very much about lettings in general rather than about my job. Yeah. And the only reason I've done that is because I didn't want to have to go into the realms of making it a chore and making it, you know, about selling or letting a property. You know, for me, right. It was more about almost like building trust within our industry rather than anything else. So okay. I use it a lot for answering questions. So I get tons of questions from people wanting to break into the industry, people that want to progress, people who've had problems with landlords, tenants that want to know how they can get a property if they've got bad credit. I mean, I've had all sorts. So yeah, I kind of just answer the questions with the occasional like random video mixed in, really.
Okay, so it's like it's got like a message function in. So is it a bit like Instagram where people can comment on it?
Yeah, exactly like that. So I did have, like, you can message people directly, which for a while I was doing. But, you know, with all platforms, you start getting the weirdos coming out. So I sort of started to, like, dial back from that side of things. Okay. You know, always nice.
Yeah, that is fine. Okay, so what's the difference between an Instagram reel and TikTok?
Not a lot, really. So I don't know the algorithms quite so well on Insta, but certainly on TikTok, if you put in, like, click on, like, hashtag estate agents, you'll bring up everything. And the more that you interact with that kind of content, the more you'll be sent of that kind of content. So okay. The people who are looking at property content will then trigger the algorithms and get sent my videos. So it's a lot more public. Right. With Instagram, obviously, you've got a lot more different kind of filters with that. But TikTok is just videos. So there's no pictures. It's just viral trends.
Right. Okay. And is there like a sweet spot in terms of length of video that you feel?
I mean, I did a lot of research on it just to see if I was doing something wrong. And it seems to be like the shorter the clips, the more popular they are. But they've just introduced a 3-minute function and they seem to be doing well as well. So I think it really is potluck, getting the trends early and talking about stuff that people are interested in.
Okay. And do you think it is a gateway to more business?
Yes, but not. So I guess if you're looking at I want to do a video and I want to meet a landlord in Reading, I don't believe that that's what's going to happen. I think for me, it's a much wider platform than that. I'm sure that there's someone who's super clever and super whizzy that could find a way to make it more direct. But for me, it's more of a general platform. I do think if you were doing videos of houses and you were making it really cool and edgy, appealing to like the younger audience of, you know, house buyers and renters, you definitely have an in there. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm definitely not kind of on that track.
Okay, that's fine. So there aren't many people doing this, are there, in our industry, TikTok?
I mean, there's a couple of good ones. I mean, I've stumbled across a great guy called John, I think it's John Savage. He's great. And I think he's called the No BS Estate Agent. And you've got Dan, who's from CGT Lettings. I think he's Let by Dan, something like that. Yeah. So there's a couple of us, but there's not tons, no. It's nice because there's not loads of people. People ask us questions because they want to talk to somebody and get an honest answer.
And what sort of hit rate are you getting in terms of views?
Mixture. So I've got some videos with like 10,000, 30,000 hits, and I get some that sort of peak at like 500. So it really varies. And you honestly, there's no rhyme or reason to it because I use the same hashtags in every video. So you'd think it would trigger that. But, you know, for example, like that Dan who we mentioned, you know, he had a million hits on one, but then he's got like, you know, 2,000 on another. And you think, well, it's the same kind of content.
Maybe it's to do with the time of day that you post?
I think it's time of day. I think it's like the TikTok wizards, whether you know how they're feeling about you. I think there's loads of it. There's so many different algorithms and they change them constantly. And I'm not clever enough to work it out, but I'm sure one day I will.
Well, we've been umming and ahhing and talking about sort of ways to do different social media within our office and within our team. And we did some reels on Instagram for the first time. And we got each of the five of us to do a little video of, you know, hi, I'm Nicola, I'm the MD, da, 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 and this is a bit about me. And we put all five reels on. And the viewing numbers on all of them are totally different.
Oh, are they?
Which is, but I mean, massively. So like Joan's video on his reel has got 191 views.
Yeah.
Okay. Will's has got 3,300.
What's Will doing? Get him on TikTok.
I don't know. I don't know. I've got 298. I'm not doing very well on mine. But then Jake's got 1,100 and Annabelle's got 3,200.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Like Joanne and I are really performing badly on this whole reel thing. And I don't know why. But again, it's the same.
Yeah,
same hashtags. Maybe just Joanne and I have a less appealing face. So
I'm sure it's not that. I'm sure the people are just absolutely overwhelmed by your beauty, and that's all it is.
I'm not sure about that, but it's just really interesting. And we've really found actually this week that there was one evening this week where I had a message from somebody on Instagram. This is all in half an hour. I had a message from someone on Instagram. I had a text message. I had a WhatsApp. And I had a LinkedIn message and a Facebook message from 5 different people in half an hour, all inquiring about new roles.
Wow.
So it has 5 different media platforms. Now, if you were to include in there TikTok.
Yeah.
Or there's another one as well, which I know we're looking at the moment, which is much more for gamers.
Is it Twitch? Switch? Something like that. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like that. And we've been looking at that as well as to whether or not that's going to be like the next big thing in terms of platform. So, but I think that if you want to try and get into the ears and visually in front of younger generations, we're doing loads of work at the moment about Generation Z and how to appeal to them. And a lot of what I'm finding and establishing is that they do absolutely everything on their mobile phone. And if they can't do it on their mobile phone, they simply won't do it full stop.
Yeah.
So things like an application form, if it's not doable on their mobile, they won't log on to a laptop to do it because they psychologically see laptops are for work.
Yeah. Yeah.
They never print anything because you don't need to.
I don't own a printer. I mean, I like to think it's because I'm really young and trendy, but I just don't have a printer.
We don't have a printer in our office.
No.
We don't print anything. We are, apart from like our day books or our notepads, we are a paperless office.
Yeah.
And it's when I do have to print something out, I don't know, I had to do some direct debit form or something the other day. I was completely stumped as to what I was actually going to do it on. And I ended up downloading it onto my Remarkable. I don't know if you've seen those.
There's the little notepads.
Yeah, an electronic notepad.
I've seen those. They look great.
They're really cool, actually. Download it onto my Remarkable, signing it electronically and then emailing it back to myself.
Oh, what a faff.
It was a faff, but it was also so much easier than printing it.
Yeah.
And it really got me thinking, like, I'm a millennial just, 37, I'm just about a millennial. But my husband says I'm massively a millennial in every way that I act.
Yeah.
And I want everything now.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sort of tech savvy with things. And I just wonder whether or not we are all moving into this, I don't know, into this real world of everything being on mobile, everything being video, everything being shorts, because shorts are what do really well. And actually, estate agents that want to perhaps get their name out there in terms of personal branding and things like that, whether they should be looking at the sort of things you're doing.
I think so. I mean, I wouldn't say that I've put any real effort into my own, personal brand forever until the last year when I started doing the work with Property Mark. And that was almost part of the role is you have to get your name out there so your members can find you. And I've seen a massive take up. Like, I've never sat and done multiple podcasts and been invited to do stuff. And it just shows you that if you just put a little bit of effort in, actually you get quite a lot out of it. So I definitely think it's a great for that. Do you know what, for me, I think it's easy when you become a manager of like lettings or sales or branch manager. It's really easy to lose contact with people at that level where it's new to them, as a job, or it's easy to be like, oh no, pets are a nightmare, don't deal with pets, but you forget that actually there are people there. And I think when you get questions from people that you've never met, it does remind you. I had a lovely girl reach out to me. She was applying to be a junior neg and she was like, what should I ask? And I was like, god, that's a really good question. So I did a video for her on it. And for like you guys in recruitment, that'd be a brilliant video for you and so helpful for people. But you forget when you do interviews all the time that that's a big thing for them.
Yeah. This is so true. It really is so true. In terms of, you mentioned earlier about like the creepiness and creepy side of platforms and things like that. Have you had much of that?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what though? The problem is that, as we all know, you know, I'm very much like, you know, girls can do everything, women can do everything, you know, we don't do this. And it really grinds my gears when I post professional content and I get, oh, lovely smile, oh, you've got beautiful eyes, and I'm just like, go away, you know, I'm not interested in knowing that, you know, why don't you tell me that it was really interesting content. I had a guy do it on LinkedIn, and I did a video on HMOs, and it was like really quite boring as well, you know, and I was just like, yeah, that's fine. And he posted on there and he was like, oh, you have such a beautiful smile. And I was like, lovely. And I went on his page to see if he was like, you know, that type. And there was tons of posts to blokes going, oh, great content, mate, you know, all this. But when it comes to my stuff, it's, oh, you have a lovely smile. And I just think, oh, no, go away. Like, creepy.
It is creepy. I mean, I don't get many of it. I don't get much of that stuff. Might be because I'd probably call them out if they did and they'd know it.
But too scared.
Yeah, too scared. Especially now I've got my quiff back as well. I've got my quiff.
I like
back
the quiff. Although I did like it without the quiff as well. But when you lost it, it was like, that's your trademark.
It's my thing. It's my thing. So it's back. But the problem is that I think that I'm a massive believer in, you know, free speech and all of that stuff, but and I think that there are times when I sometimes will post things on LinkedIn that arguably aren't business appropriate, in terms of, I don't know, I'll talk about the kids, or I'll talk about, I don't know, whatever, I'll post some funny meme or whatever it may be. But I do find it a little bit creepy. In fact, I actually sent a screenshot to my team yesterday of this lady who, she owns a recruitment company. She's absolutely beautiful. And every single picture of her is, or every single picture or post that she puts on is a picture of her pouting with a full face of makeup.
Yeah.
Talking about how she's visiting clients that day. And I've nothing against that. That's absolutely up to her. But I think if you're going to post those types of pictures, which are quite provocative in the way that they are posed, then I don't think it's right for you to criticize the comments that you potentially attract if you're going to do that. One of these posts in particular was her at, being up at 4:30 a.m. as an influencer type, going to the gym for a workout with a full face of makeup on.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely fine. But the comments that came across underneath it were, good morning, gorgeous. Let's meet this weekend. It's a stunning pic of you. Great post, X. Absolutely gorgeous photo. I hope you have a wonderful day. Afternoon. I can't believe I've only just seen this picture. You look amazing. Happy Thursday. Always energized by your illuminating awesomeness. I think you're beautiful. And that's fine, as long as I think you're aware that that's what you're going to attract. And I think that when you're doing things like social media posts, you need to be aware of what you're saying and what you're going to attract back. And I think that there is a time that's, well, what you're doing and what you're doing on your TikTok should in no way attract the type of comments that you're potentially receiving.
Yeah.
And it's just not nice. It's,
no, and also I'm like a really incredibly awkward person. Like, I, you know, I like to think that I'm good at my job, but like when it comes down to anything like that, I'm like, oh no. Like, I honestly, I can't think of anything worse than someone coming up to me and being like, you look so beautiful. I'd be like, oh, why? Don't say it. So I absolutely do not illuminate anyone's day with my pictures. If I was at the gym, you know, it would not it would not illuminate anybody. It's fair play to them. Look, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, with sexuality, you've got to use it how you want to use it, right? And some people, you know, if that's the confidence and what they like to do, then you know what, crack on. But as you say, there's a boundary, isn't there? You know, like I'm very I'm really big on my Instagram. I've got a private Instagram. You know, I don't let anybody on there I don't know, and I flood it with pictures. Well, you're on my Facebook, right? So I flood it with pictures of my little boy. But like when it comes to LinkedIn, like I don't put his face up because it's so open and public. And for me, I'm like, he has the most beautiful face that I've ever seen, but I don't want to, I don't want to make my LinkedIn about my son. I know lots of people that do, and that's great. But for me, I'm like, no, I'm trying to sort of say, look, I'm a mum, but that's not all I am, you know? So it's like a balance, right? So I'm very conscious that we, especially the last year, there's like a group of us on LinkedIn that we've become like the like female superpowers. Like we call ourselves the Spice Girls, some of us from Arla. We've got like a little WhatsApp group. And we've also got David Votter in there because he's the driver from the Spice World movie, Dennis, who we only recently found out was played by Meatloaf. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a fun fact. So, yeah, he is Dennis. He's our bus driver. But, you know, on there, it's very, you know, very empowering. You know, it's very much like women empowering women. And I think that's so beautiful. And I love seeing the content that you've been posting, that Elle's been posting. There's been some amazing stuff recently. And it's definitely encouraged me to be a bit more vocal about my feelings around it as well.
Yeah, I still think we got a long way to go with that. Because I mean, even just this week, obviously, by the time this goes out, it'll be probably irrelevant. I think it's almost irrelevant anyway, because it's not been picked up by the company in question. But this week I highlighted about a new board that had been revealed that was
Zoopla.
Yes, 11 members, of which only one of them is female, and they're all white. The number of people that messaged me privately about that to say, well done, Nick, you know, well done for calling this out. And it's like, well, don't message me privately, comment on it.
Yeah.
Make this loud, make it noisy.
Yeah.
Because it's only when we make things noisy that people actually listen.
It is.
And I think that I just feel like women now, like this lady in particular, you know, this lady going to the gym, she looks amazing. Mm. She's putting these posts on there because she wants to put them on there for her reasoning. And if she loves all this attention she gets, absolutely fair play. I have nothing against that. I just think that people need to get the tone right in terms of their responses to things, and what you've got there isn't the right tone. I think the noisiness that we're trying to make about creating voices for, you know, women and minorities across the property space, I think, you know, hopefully that's creating a slightly different tone to things too. I mean, the whole reason this podcast was set up is so that we could hear from people that we don't normally hear.
Yeah.
And actually get some different voices.
It's like positive empowerment, isn't it? You know, it's actually that for generations, women have been, you know, the homemakers, or they've been, you know, a pair of boobs, you know, they've been those things. And actually now we're going, okay, no, actually there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. I'm a firm believer that it's whoever's best for the job. Now, whether that, whatever their pipe work is, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, if I'm beaten out by a job because he's better than me, it better be because of that and not because, you know, I'm a mum or I'm a woman, you know. And they think, oh, will she have another child? Will she do this? Will she do that? You know, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Completely agree. And like I said, the more we talk about it, the better. And I think I am absolutely loving the fact that you're sort of leading the way with this TikTok, social media stuff about really providing useful lettings information on there. I think it's a brilliant sort of partnership to your property mark work that you're doing. I see more and more and more of you, Megan, in terms of being involved in different platforms and different things. And I think it's brilliant. I think, yeah, you're a strong, confident woman who knows her stuff, and I'm loving what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
So, and I totally hear you about the gym selfies. I think I put a picture up a little while ago when I went to the gym looking like an actual beetroot, just to prove that not all women look like that when they go to the gym.
I mean, I have a fringe. You can imagine what I'm working with when once you hit about 3 minutes into cardio, you can imagine what I'm working with.
Well, with the quiff splits into 90s curtains.
You're like Ben from A1. Do you remember A1?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally showing my age now. Oh my God. Oh dear. So I'm now thinking like 911.
Oh my God. I honestly, I love a 90s boy band. I went and saw Five just pre-pandemic. It was best night out ever.
That sounds cool. That sounds really cool. Oh, jealous. Right. Anyway, thank you, Megan. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
I hope that this has given some people some inspiration in terms of exploring social media, getting more from social media, trying some different stuff, providing value in different ways. And I'm loving your Spice Girls group. And
Girl power.
listening. Thanks for coming on, Megan.
Thanks for having me.